Hallelujah. I'm here to declare to you the past is over. Amen. Amen. Fresh start, new beginning. We're not going back. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going back. And you know that means war, right? Hallelujah. But we've got the armor of the Lord this morning. We've got the power. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for each person that's here today. Strengthen them, encourage them. May your word penetrate into our hearts, Lord, to transform us, to change us, to set us free. And the church said, amen. 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 It's good to see everyone this morning. I want to share a story with you about basement people versus balcony people. See, if we're going to move forward, we got to recognize basement people and balcony people. This is from Keith Miller, and it's from his book, Passionate People. It says, basement people are the discouragers in our lives. They may be people from our past or present, but their words go with us everywhere we go. They are a negative influence in our lives, and their words go something like this. You can't do that. That's a stupid thing to do. When are you going to get it right? You'll never get it right. You'll never amount to anything. Basement people divert us from our hopes and dreams. They constantly point out what is wrong rather than what is right with us. Basement people cause a room to light up when they leave. In contrast to them are the balcony people. They are people who are full of love and cheer us on. They encourage us to be loving and courageous followers of Christ. They sit in the balcony of our lives like a heavenly cheering section saying, you can do it. We believe in you. You are special to us. Balcony people are the great encouragers in our lives, and we all need them. The question for all of us is, who will we be? Will we be the basement people or the balcony people? The choice is ours to make. Balcony people try to lift people up to where they are, but basement people try to drag people down to where they are. There is no question who God wants us to be. He wants us to be balcony people, and he will help us to be balcony people. So we've got a big balcony here, and we can just, as a great illustration, just recognize that as the people of God, we're called to pull people up to our level, not to push them down. Amen? Amen. And if you've got people in your life pushing you down, then I would encourage you to push them out. Hallelujah. Let them go, Apostle Leonard said. You got to let it go. That's a song, right? Let it go. Now you're all singing it in your head, aren't you? Thank you. Yes. All right. We're going to continue our teaching this morning on the word shift, which Apostle Leon left with us. And so we discussed last week the S stands for sacrifice. We are in covenant relationship with God. Jesus sacrificed everything for us. And in a covenant, whoever you're in covenant with, you do that in return. You give everything to them. They give everything to you. You see, when people get married, they enter into a marriage covenant. And most of the time, people get married thinking of what they could get and how happy this person will make them. But reality is, when you enter into a marriage covenant, it is all about what can I give this person. I give all of my life. I lay my life down for this person. Just like Jesus Christ laid his life down for the church because we're in covenant relationship. And I often say, marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage is to make you holy. Hallelujah. I mean, some of you are saying, ouch, I know you are. But that's S is sacrifice. And then we're going to go on. Apostle Leon talked about a sacrifice of praise. And so a little study on that, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him then, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, confessing the name, his name. And so the fruit of our lips is to be being thankful. The words that come out of our mouth, that's a sacrifice of praise. When we're thankful, when we're being grateful, when we're saying things about God, to God, thanking him for his goodness. If I gave a sacrifice of praise this morning, I would thank God. I thank the Lord for saving me from eternal damnation. And I thank the Lord for giving me my family. And I thank the Lord that he's gathered each one of us here today to praise him. And I thank the Lord for each one of you. I'm thankful. That's a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving, that is supposed to continually come out of our mouths. Being thankful and appreciative of what God has done for us. Because every good and perfect gift comes from him. So, you know, when growing up, we grew up Pentecost, so people did a lot of sharing testimonies. But this morning, I would like two people from each section to stand up and say, I thank the Lord for, I thank the Lord for, I thank the Lord for. Three things you thank the Lord for. Two people in this section. Let's see who two wants to stand up. And all right, one more. Oh, okay, right here, Teresa. I thank the Lord. Amen. Octavia. Woo. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, we can clap. We've got time. All right, two people this section. Elder Carol's up. One more. All right. We've got three. That's okay. We'll start with you, Sue. Amen. Hope. Amen. That's good, yes. Elder Carol. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you. This section, boy, you two were up quick. All right, Tess.
I am thankful for my health, that God saved me. I'm thankful that he gave his son for me, and for his grace all the y'all. And I'm thankful for my family, for my pastors, and my church.
Amen. Thank you. And Roxanne. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. All right then, Rhonda.
I am thankful for his salvation.
Mm-hmm. God is faithful. Brother Tony.
I'm thankful that on this day, several years ago, my wife was born.
Wow. Yes, that's something to celebrate. Amen. Amen. Woohoo! All right, we're to the last section, and we'll take two out of three, right? Or take 3 out of 3 if you all want to do it. Harold. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. All right, Apostle.
I'm just thankful that I have the peace of God in my life and in my heart. Because everything that's going on in this world has got to be fulfilled in the Scripture. So, Lord, hurry up. I still got peace.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that's the fruit of our lips. It's being thankful. It's not hard. It's really, really easy. And it affects everyone around us as we begin. It makes you one of those balcony people when you begin to thank God, because it lifts everybody up. You know, when you're in a room and people start to complain, you just want to get out of the room, don't you? It's like you can't back out fast enough. So we want to be a thankful people. Another scripture he gave us was Hebrews 10:23. He said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised." The Lord is faithful. He's faithful. Every one of his promises. You know, we used to say you can take it to the bank. I'm not real secure with saying that anymore. I don't know how you feel, but you know, when gold was the standard, we could say that. You could take it to the bank. I'm not so sure you can take it to the bank anymore. But we know God's word, his promises, he's faithful. But we've got to hold on fast to them. That's our part. God has already promised. We grab a hold of what God promised us. And we continue to confess that, profess that, in the way that we live and in the words that we say. So don't undo your prayers. Don't get up off your knees and undo what you just prayed for by speaking a curse over your situation. You know, you got to keep your words lined up with God's promises. This is a new season and we're shifting. Amen. All right, let's go to H, hear his voice. James 1:19-20 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of God. Let every man be swift to hear." And so the scripture is exhorting us, be ready to hear. Be ready to hear. I believe it's Derek Prince says that's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we could hear. Be quick to hear what God is saying. Revelation 2:7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So, you want to pull your neighbor's ear? Oh, look at that. See how quick people do that? Pull your own ear. He who has an ear, you see those ears all around? Let him hear. Let him hear. In Jesus' name. And you know, Sue had a testimony not too long ago that she was hearing. She's hearing more and more out of her ear. Isn't that something? It's like coming in and going out, but it's coming in. Is that awesome? So we thank you, Lord, for opening deaf ears in Jesus' name. Let the deaf hear in Jesus' name. John 10:27-28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And not anyone shall be plucked, not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand." I'm used to a different wording. So sorry. "Shall not pluck them out of my hand." So if you can just imagine yourself in the hand of God. When you're following him and you're hearing him, nothing or anyone can take you out of the hand of God. What we prayed this morning before church start, nothing comes to us that does not first pass through the hand of God when we are in the will of God. Nothing. It all has to come through Him. He's sovereign over the universe. He has all authority, all power. He is all-knowing. There are no surprises with God. And so everything comes through His hand that comes to us. It's an amazing, you can feel really secure in that. Protected, even in times of trouble. That we are in the hand of God. And nothing can snatch us out of His hand. Because we hear His voice. We're His people. He speaks to us. It's a two-way conversation that goes on between you and the Lord. And so it's important that when we pray, that we listen. Because God has something to say back to us. When we read His word, it's important that we sit and we listen. We do that sila. We pause. It's a musical pause. We pause and listen to what the Lord is saying. And then it's always good to write those things down. Otherwise, you'll forget. Dr. Summerall told his students that if the Lord speaks something to you, write it down because you think you're going to remember. And 10 minutes later, it's gone. Anybody else ever experienced that? So it's important to write it down. Now we have these smartphones. You can just dictate into it. Make a note, please, you know, and share what you hear the Lord saying if you're in a place you can't write. But God continues to talk to His people. We're His sheep. And we've got to listen to what He is saying, especially in the time that we're living in. Because there's lots of other voices going out into the earth. There's a lot of noise. A lot of noise in this season of, you know, we're getting ready for the presidential campaign. So you have all of the politicians making noise, right? Lots of noise. And then you have all of the activity that goes on in the earth that if you listen to too much, it's going to become clutter in your head. You know, we really need to guard our ears. Have you ever thought about that? What you're listening to? What is it? Watch my eyes, what they see. Watch my eyes, what they see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Watch your eyes, what they see. Watch your ears, what they hear. Watch your ears, what they hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Watch your ears, what they hear. Your mouth, watch your mouth, what it says. Watch your mouth, what it says. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Watch your mouth, what it says. We used to sing that with the two going on 3-year-olds in class. And, you know, it's a song that doesn't leave you once you know it. And it's a great reminder. We do need to guard our eye gate, what we are seeing. And our ear gate, what we are hearing. Words are seeds. And they come in and they get rooted in to our lives. And they can cause, negative words can cause a lot of problems in our lives. And for instance, just an example, when I was in Korea, when Vanessa and I went to Korea a few years ago, Ricky was driving us around, and he said, Pastor Janet, he said, you know, they started playing rap music in Korea, and the Koreans seem to really love the rap music, but over the last 7 years that they have been playing it, we have seen our family lives decline and divorces increase, and the morals of the country just get lowered. And I'm not picking on rap because If they were listening to hard rock music, it would be the same thing. If they were listening to some country music, I'm sorry all you country music lovers, but it would have the same effect, because music is very powerful. It's a powerful tool, and when it's carrying a message that is contrary to what God would want us to do in our lives, then we begin to listen to the devil's music. Basically, it's the devil's music. Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. And when he was cast out and he fell to the ground, and God kicked him out of heaven, music took on a whole different form. And Satan wants to defile people. And he uses music to defile them, what they are listening to. The scripture says when he fell, that maggots covered his body. So if you can just imagine this is what I used to tell my children. We can't listen to that. It's maggot music. Y'all know what maggots are, right? Nasty. But that is the same effect that it begins to have on our soul. And I hear people say, well, that doesn't affect me. I can watch that. It doesn't affect me. Well, eventually it will. It will. God is very clear about guarding our heart and guarding our minds. So what we see and what we listen to is really important. And what we read. What we read, because there again, it's words. And it can begin to change our thoughts, because those seeds get on the inside of us. Talking about that, in 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy, not in your notes, but we're going to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 3. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicious, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. So the scripture's talking to us about what we're listening to, who we're involved with, what's going on around us. And if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, the word says they're proud, knowing nothing. Last week we read from Jeremiah 7:23, which the scripture tells us that the people in Judah were turning away from the word of God and not listening to God, was not listening to his prophets, and the truth simply left them. It was gone. The scripture said there was no truth in their mouth. In other words, you couldn't believe a word that they said. So people who are living an ungodly life don't trust them, because the truth is far from them. Pray for them. Pray for opportunities to witness to them, because that's what we're called to do in these last days, is to make sure that we are the light. We are the standard bearers, and we are witnessing to those who do not know Jesus Christ. But in the process of that, we must guard our eyes and guard our ears of what we are hearing. Verse 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And that doesn't mean you gain weight. You know, I've used that. I've told Leonard that. Well, godliness with contentment's great gain. That's not what that means. It actually means that God will prosper you and that he'll increase you. And it also in the Greek means furnishings. So when we live a godly life, God will increase us. And as we move forward, God is challenging us to shift and change some of the things that we're doing. And why? Because God wants to bless us to a greater degree. He wants to give us an increase. He wants to furnish us with what we need to accomplish his will on the earth. He is not thinking of furnishing you with a brand new house and a brand new car so that you can say you have a brand new house and a brand new car. That's not what it's about. But some people get into serving God because of what they can get from God. So I'm going to go back to what we shared about covenant. Covenant is what can I give to you? It's dying to yourself. It's laying down your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I that lives, but it's Jesus Christ that lives in me. And so when we get into that mentality, which is very strong in the charismatic move about what we can get from God, then we're in error. But we know that if we align our life with God and we give him our all, he gives all to us. He increases us. He does bless us financially. You know, we should be blessed financially. It's okay to be wealthy. No one in here would complain about having a couple $1 million, would you? But money can become a snare when we have a love for money, when our love for money becomes greater than our love for God. But God wants us blessed because godliness with contentment is great gain. And so he increases us, not only spiritually, but naturally. So praise God. In one of the translations, it talks about withdrawing yourself from people who dispute, that have disputings. And disputings actually comes from a Greek word that means to wear through. If you hang around with people too long that have an opposing view, that are constantly disputing, their view is going to wear through into your mind. Does that make sense? Yes. So, God loves us so much. He wants to protect us. And he's encouraging us as we shift, as we move forward in this new season. We declare the past is behind, and God gives us the grace and he gives us the ability to change. Because he said he wants us to change into his image. And nobody sitting here has arrived yet and been transformed completely into the image of Jesus Christ. But every day, God works on us if we'll let him. And you know what? All you have is today. We have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring us. So today is the day to allow God to work in your heart and not put it off till tomorrow. Now you might put your exercise off till tomorrow. And everybody starts a diet on Monday, right? I'll start. Monday's a great day. Actually, research studies show that Saturday is the best day to start your diet. So if you're thinking about changing your eating habits, Saturday's a good day to do that. Probably because Saturday is the day everybody lays back and splurges, right? Goes out to eat and all of that. But whew, there we go. Lost my notes. Let's go on. Let's go on to one more H Apostle gave us in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that is a strong challenge for each one of us to keep God's commandments. If you love me, keep them. And that's, don't worry about that, that's last week's sermon on the floor. Okay. In case I needed to refer to it. Another H is hide yourself in him. Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the pupil, the daughter of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 32:2-7. Blessed is the man to whom Jehovah does not charge iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall circle me with songs of deliverance. God sings over us. Did you know that? We sing to God and God sings over us. He actually rejoices over us. When we're in praise and worship and we're singing, he's right here with us. He rejoices over us and sings with us. Let's go on to I. Enter into intimacy with God at a higher level. John 17:20-16. Apostle's note is intertwining your heart, soul, and spirit together. And we're going to read through this passage. It's always good to read the Word of God. Did you know the Word washes you? It washes you. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has his scrub brush and he just starts scrubbing on us as we read the Word of God. Hey, we all need a good cleansing in the natural, and we always need a cleansing in the spirit. Okay. Verse 20, and I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, indeed, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I made known to them your name, and will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So there's this intertwining that takes place of our heart, soul, and spirit together when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He knows us, and we're to know him. Not about him, but to know him. There are a lot of people that know about him, but they don't know him. It's important that we are intimate. Intimate means into me see. That we allow the Lord to look into our hearts. The psalmist said, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Search me. Cleanse me from any wicked or evil thing that would be in me. So if we allow God, he'll turn that spotlight on us, and he'll begin to look into our hearts. Because he wants to know us, we're to know him. And we learn about who he is through his word. And it becomes light to our souls, and it becomes like food to our spirit when we get into His Word. And I encourage you, if you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, then read the Word of God more. Your appetite develops. Babies that are fail to thrive, they won't eat, and you have to encourage them to eat. But eventually they'll get an appetite and be hungry. And see, that's the way it is with us. We're gonna fail to thrive if we're not in the Word of God. And once we get in there, it begins to nourish us, and we actually get hungry for it. And we need to read the Word. I got a Bible this year. It's called Reading Through the Bible in 1 Year is the title of it. But it's all laid out so that the date, you open it up to the date and you read through the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, some of the Psalm and Proverbs. But it's all laid out for you so you're not flipping back and forth. You know, I always used one of those sheets that tell you where to go to read your Bible and flipping back and forth. And that's great because you learn your Bible that way. But this is very convenient, and I keep it on my nightstand, and I read it at night before I go to sleep. I read my message for the day because in God's calendar, our day starts at night. And so I want to start my day right, even though I'm going to bed. But that's when God's day starts. So I read before I go to sleep at night and let that Word of God just penetrate into my heart. So know Him. Know Him. And He'll speak to you in the nighttime. Amen. All right, F, fight the good fight of faith and fear God. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before about you, in order that you might war a good warfare for them, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away and made shipwreck as to faith. And so we fight a good warfare over the word of the Lord that's been spoken over us. If we went by our sight only, we would just give up and throw in the towel. And Elder James said that at offering time, he said, some of you may have felt like just giving up this week. But don't give up. We're in a fight. That means war. We're not fighting with natural weapons. But we are a militant church because God has called us to fight in the Spirit. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And then the T stands for tear down the gates of hell and transform your tomorrow. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is a mighty force in the earth today. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes people to agree. Agree on what the will of the Lord is, and God will release help from the heavens. Because there are a lot more with us than what we see sitting here today in the natural. God sends His hosts of angels with us. So praise God. I have one more thing to share with you, and then we're going to have our closing song. And this was written by Dr. Robert Moorhead. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Let's all stand this morning. Hallelujah. This morning I read a psalm, Psalm 39, 4 through 7, and it talked about how brief our life is in this earth, that it's like a hand breath, about the length of your hand. It's like a moment before the Lord. You're here today and in this moment of time, and Jesus is calling each one of you, and he's talking to you today to come closer to him, to say yes to what he has for our lives. We don't know what lies ahead because we haven't been there before. But we know that God goes with us, and nothing comes to us that he hasn't pre-approved. And if we war over the word of the Lord over our lives, God will bring it to pass. So if you would like to pray this prayer with me this morning, you can repeat after me. Lord, remind me how brief my time is on earth. Remind me that my days are numbered. I confess my sins to you. I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again. I believe that you have forgiven me. Thank you for giving your life for me. I give my life to you. Create in me a clean heart. And renew my mind in your truth. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Hallelujah.